It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:15 Wednesday morning. We generally talk to Ronald Surpass around that time. Ron East Parts, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, consultant to many departments, and I believe by now you probably got all the glitter washed off your face from the Taylor Swift concert, right?
I did. I was right there at the stage. It was amazing.
It is.
Just too exhausted to speak about it.
I'll tell you this, that man, that glitter, once you get out in the house, you'll never get it out of there. Never. You'll have that there forever. Let's talk about the test that was given. I talked to Captain Glasser about this last Friday, I think it was, and the mayor getting involved in who gets promoted and who doesn't. Take me back to when, I don't know if I talked to you about this last week or not, but when the tests were given, when you were superintendent, how you handled all of that, how the mayor then handled all of that.
The history has been that the New Orleans Civil Service Department, since the mid-80s, has conducted the promotional examinations. They do so with great professionalism. They do so with great protection of the data. It's gotten more sophisticated. New Orleans is not unique at all in this. Departments around the country have been doing this for decades. So when the Civil Service Commission produces a list, there's different rules that you can use to operate on the list, but you're basically tethered to the list that Civil Service produces. There is always complaints, Tommy, in promotions and transfers, and it's just the way things are, that if you thought you were going to be promoted and it didn't happen for you, sometimes you'll create a narrative that you were cheated. If you didn't get a transfer you were hoping to get, sometimes you'll create a narrative, hey, it was my fault, I need to do better. So the notion that this police department is any different than any police department in the country to suggest that some people are not satisfied with the promotional list is not new. But here is something new. While we were in office, I do not remember, and so I could be corrected, but I do not remember this imposed by consent decree requirement that for captains and majors, for example, a group of three deputy chiefs would do an external ranking based on internal documents and experiences above and beyond the civil service test. So to me, it's always been quite confusing. If the purpose of the consent decree was to break up nepotism in paid details, nepotism or favoritism in paid details and assignments and promotions, why in the heck would they ever add a component to the testing above and beyond the civil service system, which is done all by experts outside the city, graded by experts outside the city? Why would the consent decree have ever added back in the local feel, which fuels the concern that friendships are taking care of friendships? Secondly, I think that Judge Morgan has done a tremendous job. I don't know how, if I was to testify in front of the judge, I would say that whenever a mayor interferes with the promotional practices, it usurps the chief of any power, formally or informally. In other words, if it is true that the mayor has engaged herself in this practice, and I don't know it to be true, but if it is true, it sends the message to everybody in the police department that the chief is not in charge. Third and final point, if you spent all the fall and spring preparing for this test and you spent all the summer sweating out the results of this test and then you're told summarily in a meeting that, never mind, it didn't matter, that destroys the morale of the people waiting to get promoted to major, the people waiting to get promoted to captain, the people waiting to get promoted to lieutenant, because it's a trickle-down effect. So once again, the judge has to be made aware that if it's true that the superintendent was overruled or parked to a decision constructed by the mayor, this guts the entire morale of the senior leadership who's supposed to be moving these advances forward.
So who decided that they were going to give the tests? That's what I'm trying to get back to here. This was the consent decree, or this was Chief Kirkpatrick that said, you know what, we're going to give tests, we're going to open promotions?
When we did the negotiation with the consent decree, the civil service rules were essentially exempted from any component of the consent decree. Uh-huh. So therefore, the civil service rules are those operated by the will of the department and the request of the chief. If you ask for a sergeant's examination, certain rules have to have been met. Not difficult.
Wait, like let me take a second, Chief. Let me slow you down for a second. So if it starts with the chief looking at the manpower and saying, superintendent looking at the manpower saying, we need more sergeants, we need more this, we need more that. That's where it starts?
That's exactly where it starts. Okay. If an active list is in place, the superintendent is required to promote off of that list, whatever the conditions might be. If you don't have a list, you need a list, you call civil service. Civil service hires out-of-town experts who do these tests all over the country, Tommy. They do it all over the country. And then the civil service department examines the candidates. They bring in external policing experts of one rank higher than the ones who are being tested. They show those assessors what the test dimensions we're looking for. Those people who don't know anybody in the city of New Orleans create a list. When you add, that's the way it's been forever. But now that it appears that the consent decree for some reason added, and maybe I forgot, I don't remember it there when I was there, adding this internal review by deputy chiefs explodes all of that prior external expertise and external experience, because people are naturally going to say, Chief Jones didn't like me, that's why I went from number two to number five. And that rumor you can't overcome. You just can't overcome it in the culture. So basically the message to the people who wanted to be sergeants, lieutenants, captains, and majors that this kerfuffle has now resulted in their careers being held back by years. Now, how do you think that affects their morale to go out and carry out the agenda of the department?
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Ronald Serpas, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief. I realize that was a rhetorical question. Traffic now.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Ronald Serpas, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief. On a lighter note, Chief, somebody texted and said, ironically, glitter was on a list of banned items for the Taylor Swift concert. It was a glitter-free event. So I guess you snuck in.
Well, Tommy, your history of being a rapscallion would suggest that you didn't pay attention to the rules, which is why I saw the glitter all over you. It was quite attractive.
Come on, never getting it.
Tommy, something occurred to me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think as long as Chief Kirkpatrick is here, she has always demonstrated that she is truthful and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
If you were investigating this case, and maybe you were a federal judge who could make people answer questions, you would call Cantrell in and say, answer exactly what happened with this test, and then you would separately call in Kirkpatrick and ask her exactly what happened with this test, and you would judge the credibility of each and you'd make a decision. This is not hard stuff to do.
But what does that do with
very simple.
But what does that do with a consent decree? Because the judge, Susie Morgan, can't fire the mayor. The mayor can fire Go ahead.
No, you're right, but imagine this. So if you determine that someone was interfering with the concept of the consent decree as the judge, you would have a duty to correct that behavior. And if it's true, we don't know. But if it's true that the officers do know that they don't know anything, that is true. That's one thing that they've been complaining about, and they have a right to complain. But if the mayor would be, in a hypothetical, if the mayor would be willing to interfere one of the most fundamental ways of altering culture for the future, wouldn't that make a difference to you to trust whether or not they're altering things that you just don't see? This is a big deal. That's why it became important. But what other things aren't being done correctly because of influence?
So if that's the case, I don't see an end to the consent decree while LaToya Cantrell is mayor. Is that what we're saying here?
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the whole Vapi investigation. Look at that whole issue there about the numerous examples of behaviors that were not consistent with typical, traditional, professional activity and investigations. And then if someone, we don't know yet, Tommy, but if just go put a sworn statement in front of the judge. No, I had nothing to do with it, Your Honor. I'm a mayor. I get blamed a lot of stuff. Nobody ever heard me say anything. That would be important to know for the morale of the men and women of the department. But what if it's the other way?
Yeah, the light went off.
Then
just
that
now.
Would say that the highest power in the city is, again, ignoring the concept of what the consent decree is supposed to fix.
You go to federal court, you put people under oath, and then you see what they have to say, right, at the risk of perjury.
That's exactly what I would do if I was the chief of police. I would do it under concern of their employer. I mean, I would investigate it. You can't not investigate this is the point. You can't have all these people's careers put on hold and not get to the bottom of it, whatever the bottom might be. Maybe they're just maybe Cantrell had nothing to do with it. Fine. Clear it up. Maybe neither of them had anything to do with it, and it's a flaw in the consent decree.
But
fix it.
There was no problem. I'm just reading what Rafael Goyeneche told Newell Norman. I believe this appears to be another example of retaliation. The mayor has no problem with the process. Mayor has a problem with the results and the results of the process that she created in 2021 and approved, I think. That was approved by the federal monitors, and they've been making promotions from, since 2021 with no problems. So again, as I understand, just factually what happened is after the results of the test came back, which in no way were questioned as to the validity of it, the mayor saw who was on the list and at that point said that there's bias here?
I mean, that's one of the things that the officers are coming to the conclusion because they have no other source of information because people aren't being forced to say what they know. And there's only one person in the city can force the mayor to say anything, and that's the judge.
Under oath in federal court.
I mean, Tommy, the consent decree is meant to change forever the culture of the organization. To do so, you have to promote people into the new culture. They have to have confidence that the systems are working. And this is a clear example of something isn't working. And that is like dropping a brick in a pond. The ripples will go for years this kind of behavior.
The only reason I keep saying under oath in federal court is if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what does. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Ronald Sirs, past professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief. So now it's up to Judge Susan Morgan, I guess, to see if she'll bring Mayor Cantrell in, put her under oath, see what happened. And as the chief just suggested, bring the superintendent in under oath separately. Tell me what happened. We'll take a break, come back, talk to a Louisiana state representative about Louisiana and reading the importance of that right now, a minute late. Time for WWL First News. All right, 8:46, 14 till 9, quickly to Louisiana State Representative John Weibel. And one thing I often say, and if y'all listen to Tommy Tucker, WWL, is that nothing just happens. The only time things get changed or when people get in there and do stuff. And Representative, good morning, first of all. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Tommy, for having me, and especially for the spotlight on this critical issue for Louisiana.
And I always, give the base example of, even parent-teacher meetings, chairs got to get set up. Somebody's got to do that. So when it comes to improving reading in Louisiana, it's not just enough to talk about it. People have to get in there and do something to help. And that's what your organization is all about. Tell me about the focus on literacy first before we talk about results and how important it is, Representative, and how you got into it, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely. I've worked with a number of nonprofit programs throughout my career that just really improves outcomes for communities, for our people, and particularly our students. The Center for Literacy and Learning has been really at the core of this issue for over 32 years. And what's very interesting about our organization is we're a Louisiana-based nonprofit, but our scope and our work is actually national. So we work with school districts, of course, across our state, but all over the country.
Tell me about your experience with this. Are you a former educator or on a school board? What's your history?
So, I've been, of course, a community advocate. I did serve on a local school board prior to getting elected to the legislature. I started off my career through the LSU Ag Center, of all places, in extension service, working with our 4-H youth development programs, and being in all of the schools, having a presence in all of our schools in Washington Parish. It became evident even then that, you know, there were really some fundamental reform, systemic shifts we needed to make so we could improve student learning across our state. And literacy is one of those critical issues. It's, you know, we can continue to train and support teachers in the classroom, but when I came to the Center for Literacy and Learning 5.5 years ago, I said, you know, we're doing a great job of treating the symptoms. Now we really need to get focused on the root causes. And so we worked with the governor then, the legislature. We created the Literacy Commission. And then from there, we've had some extensive reforms that we're now seeing are paying off for our students across the state.
You know, I am a firm believer that this country still allows people to accomplish whatever it is that they want and be. You know, I mean, not everybody's going to be, you know, Steve Jobs or one of these people or play professional basketball. But I do think this country, if you put yourself in a position, allows you to achieve a level of success. A lot of us get a lot of breaks, but it all starts with having the skills that you need. And if my kid's a teacher, third grade teacher, and they told me stories about students coming in at the third grade level that couldn't read, Representative. Now, what in the world are you supposed to do at that point?
Right. It's really a critical issue. And we know from birth to 8 years old that 90 to 95% of the brain has developed. And so that's why you hear so much focus on third grade reading performance. It's not that we're waiting, and we shouldn't wait, like in the case of your child's student. We shouldn't wait till third grade, but we know the research and the science tells us that fundamentally we have to have our students in a place where they're confident, they're foundationally strong in literacy, because from birth to 8 years old, you're learning to read so that you can read to learn the rest of your life. And that's really the premise of all the work that we do.
I learned so much just from reading books, and I hope we've not gotten completely away from that, because as you well know, Representative, I'm preaching the choir on this. You read this, you don't understand what that is, so you look it up, and then you learn, and then you read something else, you don't understand what that is, you look it up. Today, it's even more, it's easier than ever to look stuff up and learn, and it just exponentially expands your store of knowledge. Let me take a break. I want to talk specifically about the steps. You talk about three buckets your organization takes when it comes to helping kids read, all right?
Sounds great. Thank you.
John Weibel, our guest, Louisiana State Representative. He represents the Franklinton area, and scores are up when it comes to reading, which is good. Reading levels for kids, big improvement. 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. All right, Tommy Tucker, 8:56 and a half. Quickly back to Representative John Weibel, who works hard to improve reading scores in Louisiana. And, I'm a conservative, and I believe people can pull themselves up by their bootstraps, but I'm realistic enough to know that you got to teach them what their bootstraps are and how to pull them up, and it all starts with reading. You go along with that, John?
You're spot on, Tommy. It's, you know, we have argued for a few years now, and we work very closely with the business and industry community across our state. Literacy, this is an economic development, a workforce development issue. You know, certainly we've got to do things to help working adults now build their skills, get into the workforce. But generationally, Tommy, we have been struggling in these areas. So generationally, to address workforce needs, it really starts at that third grade literacy spot. There's a lot of research we could get into another time, but everyone recognizes.
I would love to have you back, because I think this is very important. Tell me about, if we can, in the time we have left, talk about the work the center does, and you talk about it in three buckets, right?
That's exactly right. We do a lot of professional development with educators and providers from child care centers all the way to K-12. Our second bucket is family engagement. We have to meet parents and families where they are and help give them the tools to read to their children. Remember, we're dealing with generational issues and challenges here. And the third bucket is the advocacy. You know, we have a lot of shiny new objects in education reform, which are very good good reforms, but the tried and true reform is making sure that by end of third grade, our children are strong and confident readers, and they're grounded in those literacy principles so they can be successful for the rest of their lives.
You know, the generational thing, I think, is something that gets overlooked sometimes, because you might be talking about parents that can't read as well, correct?
Correct. We struggle, and we have resources and programs where we help parents and support them to work with their children. And then the other thing, you know, I always say one of my primary talking points is, you know, if you were not read to as a child, then I don't think it's a safe assumption that you will intuitively read to your children. And so rather than, you know, point fingers and all of these other things, going back to what we talked about earlier, it's really let's meet our parents where they are. Let's lift them up and let's encourage them and educate them on just how valuable that reading piece is. 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. We're not asking you to be a rocket scientist or an engineer, researcher, or any of those things. Just engage with your child. Read whatever is of interest to you and the child, and that engagement will go a very long way in creating that strong foundation for that child's learning throughout life.
John, I want you to come back. I think what you're doing is extremely important. Congratulations on it. You're not pounding the table. You're getting stuff done and showing results. We'll be back.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.